What are we trying to do? We want to charge up our spirits so we can receive the word of God today. Say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The word of God is life.
The word of God is life.
It is my life.
It is my life.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am receptive to God's word.
I am receptive to God's word.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
He has sent his word.
He has sent his word.
It is healing me.
It is healing me.
And is delivering me from all my destructions. Say the word of God is delivering me,
word of God is delivering me
from sicknesses.
From sicknesses.
The word of God is delivering me,
the word of God is delivering me
from confusion of soul.
From confusion of soul.
The word of God is delivering me,
the word of God is delivering
from poverty.
From poverty.
The word of God is delivering me,
the word of God is delivering me
from fear.
From fear.
Say like you believe it. Say from fear.
From fear.
I am delivered.
I am delivered
by the power of God's word.
By the power of God's
say the word of God is coming.
And
it's pouring grace into my life,
and it's pouring grace into
giving
my life.
Me ability
to walk like Christ,
to walk like Jesus Christ,
to
get results like Him.
So
I can do all things
through
Christ
who strengthens me.
All right, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's declare that word that we normally declare together. Let's go. One, two, go.
Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's commence the teaching again today from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we're going to start again today. Now, Peter was writing here, describing the things that have to do with being a believer in Christ Jesus. Let's read from verse 4. He said, I'm coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So for this is the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. So this precious stone then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, there's another word. So the stone which the builders rejected became the very cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling and a block of offense. And I said, but for you who believe, verse 9, this is the result of the fact that you have believed and you have come to him. You have become a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. I like the King James expression there. It said, a peculiar people. He said, why are you like this? What is the purpose? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As an example, verse 10, for once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. This was the situation. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He now says, verse 11, behold, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, you may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of salvation. Let's also move to Romans chapter 3. We also read this last time. We just want to, this is our main text for this particular part of our teachings. I'm just going to read just a few verses here. He said from verse 21, but apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, What did God do with this Christ Jesus? God displayed him as a propitiation in his blood, that is, as a sacrifice, all right, through faith. So this was to demonstrate, now this is where I'm going, this is verse 25 here. He said this was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he will be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Let me just stop here. Now, why did we read this? We just wanted to bring out the fact that anytime God wants to do something, if you are not around last time, please get the CD. If you are around last time, please listen to the CD. Now, so we said that God likes to demonstrate things. He doesn't just want to say things and people know, just accept that because he said it, it is true. He likes to be that, yes, I said it and it has been demonstrated to be true. And that's what we are seeing here in this Romans chapter 3. That what happened was that God, for a long time, he did things. He did not punish sins when he was supposed to punish sins because the people offered a blood sacrifice. And we know that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. So what was he doing? He was showing to them that this sin is being paid for. Don't worry about it. So when Jesus came, Jesus was not the payment for that sin. So when the coming of Jesus was a demonstration that God was right all this while. Are you getting my point here? That's what he was trying to say. Let's read another scripture. Very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to verse 21. He said, He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, I want you to notice something here. He said, this was somebody who did not know any sin, and I was talking about the Lord Jesus. He made him to be sin. Now, that's one interesting scripture that many people stumble over in trying to interpret. He did not know sin, he made him to be sin. Actually, what it means is simple terms, is that he made him to be a sin offering. That's the meaning of that word, made him to be sin. Okay? That's what he made him to be. He said, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is even more difficult to explain. If you look at it in just simple English like that on the surface. But I want to explain something again. It's very easy to understand if I just explain it, just like we've been saying. We read from that Romans chapter 3 that the coming of Jesus was a demonstration of the righteousness of God. Here he was saying that we have now become the righteousness of God in him. It's very easy to understand. Just add this word to make it clearer, that we have become the demonstration of the righteousness of God. That's what he was saying. That is, any time in the spirit realm, people that have understanding of spiritual things, if they look at the believer in Christ Jesus, they will understand why God made somebody that did not have sin to die for sin. They will understand why God made Jesus, that did not do anything wrong, to be a blood sacrifice, to be the sacrifice for sin, even though he never did anything wrong. That is, the reason why God did that is shown when they look at your life. Listen to me. Only Jesus can change people. Nobody else can change any human being. It's only the power of Christ that can change people. Let me explain something to you again about Christianity. Christianity is so different from every other religion on this earth. Because in Christianity, God does not just, and that's a new covenant he made, all right, that he promised when he was speaking through Jeremiah, that there's a new covenant I'm going to make. I will write my laws upon their hearts. What Moses did was to give laws to those who did not want to obey the law. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Inside them, they did not like to obey that law. Inside them, they said, thou shalt not steal. They wanted to steal. He said, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. You know, that's why the meaning of the word covet is not just to want. Because God could not command them concerning their desires. He just commanded them concerning what they could do. So for them, don't make any arrangement to legal, because you can steal. It's illegal. But you can make a legal arrangement to collect something that belongs to somebody else. Do you get my point? That is covetousness. That is different between stealing and covetousness. That is, you say, okay, thou shalt not steal. Say, no problem, I will not steal. But I'm going to work hard to ensure that that thing that belongs to my neighbor, all right, becomes my own. So that if you take me to court, you will see that I went through the legal way. That's the difference between stealing and covetousness. So you see, when Ahab wanted to take the vineyard of Naboth, you see how they went about it. It was, that's what they call covetousness. Jezebel looked and said, we can't just collect it, that would be stealing. So let's have people go and testify. I mean, they broke so many rules. Covetousness, bearing false witness, everything was there. People would testify. So Naboth was executed. Nobody could complain, all right, on the issue of stealing when Ahab collected what belonged to Naboth. Because what they wanted was, let me steal and let me buy it. That's what they wanted. Okay? He wasn't saying, give it to me by force. I would need to buy it. But that man said, I cannot sell it. It belongs to my family. It belongs to my father. I have to hand it over to the next generation. I can't sell it. So by the time they killed him, the next fellow sold it. I hope you're getting my point. Now, what am I going to say here? So that's covetousness. Now, that's just a side trip. So Moses gave them all those commandments, but he could not change the heart of anybody. That's why Paul wrote in that Romans chapter 7. He said that, yes, I wanted to obey the law, but there's something inside my member. And that was the thing. So Moses could not change the heart of anybody. But God now said, I will, in the next new covenant, I will write my laws upon their hearts. Nobody will need to say to the neighbor, know the Lord. Now, what was he trying to say? When he said, I'll write their laws, my laws upon their hearts. What it means is that if a man likes a vineyard, and looking at the vineyard, I said, man, this vineyard is beautiful. He said, sir, it belongs to Naboth. He said, oh, it belongs to Naboth. Suddenly, he doesn't want it anymore. He doesn't want it anymore. Why? It belongs to somebody else. He's no longer interested. He doesn't want it. That is, the desire for that vineyard vanishes from his heart. Somebody said, I can get it for you. He said, why should you get it for me? Is the owner tired of it? He's not the one defending the owner. Why? The fact that you told him it belongs to somebody else. Why? Because his heart has been changed. He will not steal. Why should he steal? He understands. When he understands that this thing is blessing somebody else, rather, he would rather give to the person rather than steal from him. Now, these are the things that God does and writes his laws in the hearts of people. Are you getting my point here? Now, so God can take somebody who believes in Jesus, who was, is full of hatred and anger and everything. He turns him to be the nicest, most loving, you understand my point, most patient of all human beings. Now, it's not easy. The Bible says the redemption of a soul is costly. That's what the Bible says. Don't think that you just go and do psychology and psychotherapy and change somebody. You can't do it. It is a spiritual transaction. It is a power of the Spirit that can do that in the life of anybody. It's not cheap. It is not cheap. Now, for God to be able to do it, he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus died. So by the time Jesus was dying for sins, it didn't make sense. No, just think about it. He had never done anything wrong. He had never offended God or man. I mean, normal man. Are you getting my point? I don't mean the Pharisees who were disobeying God. he never stole anybody's goods. He did not covet his neighbor's anything. If anything, the Bible says he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So why should anybody kill him? Even the angels did not like the idea. They just had to cooperate. Because they did not, the Bible said these are things that angels long to look into. So don't assume that they understood it. So they were looking at it. So Gabriel looked at Michael. Michael, what do you think? He said, the Lord is wise. I don't know whether you get the point. Michael didn't think it was a nice idea. He just said, the Lord is wise. They looked at each other. Do you know the name of any other angel in the Bible? Gabriel, Michael, who else? Yeah. Okay, yes. My wife just told me about two now. There's one angel called Goodness. And that one called Mercy. Yeah, that's what Miles Monroe taught us. Alright? So let's assume that Goodness looked at Gabriel. Said, Gabriel, what is going on? Did you see what they are doing to Jesus down there? He said, yes. Why can't we go and fight? Said, did they call you? Were you not there when he said, if I wanted 12 legions? We were waiting. Once he said 12 legions, all of us waited, hoping he would call. He did not call. And the Lord said, stay there. They did not enjoy the beating. It wasn't funny. Because the Bible said things that the angels longed to look into. It tells you that even the angels did not understand. Finally, he died. And the angel said, the Lord is wise. When he was getting really weak, at a point in time in the garden, the Lord gave instructions. And angels went there and strengthened him. But they were not allowed to deliver him. I hope you're getting my point here. So he died. And all the angels sat and said, okay, oh, the Lord is wise, but this is a tough one. Finally, on the third day, they told one angel, go and roll back the stone. That angel was very happy to do that job. Because at that point in time, the Son of God rose again from the dead. And then they said, what did this achieve? Then they began to see the hearts of man transformed. I hope you're getting my point here. Suddenly they saw that because, you see, all the sins that David committed, they were not thrown away. They were stored somewhere. The word atonement means to cover. They were just covered in a nice safe. They were not thrown away. The one that Abel committed was there. Abel was not the perfect man. He did one or two things wrong. I mean, he's not the son of Adam. The one that all those people committed, David, the one that everybody in the Old Testament, they all, as the Jews were sacrificing, not only Jews, don't forget, blood sacrifice was not only with the Jews. You go and see when Balaam want to see what God was saying. He will tell Balak, bring me seven bulls, bring me seven, and they will sacrifice. So that thing was everywhere. Yes, these people were offering blood sacrifices. If you remember, when Abimelech took Abraham's wife, God made him take a sacrifice to Abraham. Abraham to pray for him. When Job, you know, Job, is, that story is the oldest, all right, in the Bible there. When Job, when his friends did what they did, when they spoke against the counsel of God, they had to take sacrifices. What I'm going to say here is that all those people were just covering their sins up. The sins were stored up somewhere. Yet God was not punishing it. That's why we're talking about the fact that he overlooked sins all that time. But the moment Jesus died, the store of sin, the angels who opened it and it was gone. I don't know whether you get my point here. When the sin was stacked up for all these generations, the angels went to peep. There was nothing there again. What happened? God said, you see, that's why I kept it there. Now Jesus has paid. Now they are permanently free. David is now free. The blood of Uriah, that blood was making a lot of noise. They covered it with the blood of bulls and goats to bubble through. Are you getting my point? That's the sound. But at that point in time, it was silenced permanently. Why? Because Jesus had paid. So the angels were beginning to understand. The men will come. In the realm of the spirit, they could see things. They saw, suddenly, Peter became a totally new man. John became a totally new man. As Jesus was rising up from the dead, so were those who were believing in him being transformed inside. I hope you're getting my point. That was why Jesus came to them and the Bible says he breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit didn't fall for the next many days. Because he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the Spirit from on high. What did he now give to them that day? Are you getting my point here? There's a new spirit that he brought from resurrection and passed into all the people that were following him. Then the angels, looking with the eyes of the Spirit, they saw dark hearts suddenly get light. They saw people changed. One day they see a man like the Roman centurion who invited Peter to his house. And Peter finished preaching. And phew! Children of darkness became children of light in one instant. And the angel said, Lord, how did you do that? He said, when Jesus was dying, I told you guys to be patient. He said, yes, we said you were wise, just that it was confusing. So when they saw Cornelius born again, they said, well, now we understand why Jesus died. When they saw Paul, I'm going to kill everybody. Paul was looking for who to kill, put in prison. And Jesus met him on the way. In one instant, that enemy of Jesus became a good friend of Jesus, willing to lay his life down for him. God looked at him and said, what did I tell you guys? The angel said, this is good. I hope you're getting my point here. They look and said, this is good. That's what the Bible means when it says we have become the righteousness of God in him. That is, when they look at you, that's why it annoys me. Now, I'm back to this, my funny things. Somebody now look at the child of God, say he needs deliverance. I'll be looking at you. From what? Ancestral curses. If the angels catch you, insult the blood of Jesus like that. Say, do you know what you're talking about? If any man is in Christ, and they saw it happen. They saw it happen. They saw people being transformed. That's that this person, the sins of the grandfather is what is pursuing him in 2016. If it was in maybe like 25 BC, we'll understand. In 2016 AD, you tell somebody who has believed that the sin of his father is what is pursuing him. The angels know what they say. It's only the ignorance of the Christian that's pursuing him. The sin of his father cannot pursue him. The ancestral curses in their family cannot pursue him. The only thing that pursues them, the angels have argued, is their ignorance. That if they know what we saw happen in their lives, they won't be here talking. That is what it means when it says we became what? The righteousness of God in him. We often interpret it means now we are righteous. Yes, we are righteous, but that's not what our scripture says. That one, they say we became righteous. They say we became the righteousness of God. It's God that's righteous there, not you. I hope you are following the point. In that situation, it is God that is righteous, not you. It's not the believer. It is God. He said we became the righteousness of God. What does that mean? When they look at, I wish we could see what the angels have seen in the spirit. If you have been around, when we've been looking on Tuesdays, we're studying Colossians and Ephesians. We're talking about the fact that God does not see, he said, to present us perfect, blameless before him, without fault. That is the meaning. If you ever wonder what that scripture meant, that's what I've just explained to you. That is the meaning. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Grace, I told you that if you understand grace properly, people will think you are walking, it's close to lawlessness. Now, I'm going somewhere. The man that understands grace, that understands Christ, what God did for him in Christ, he has to be careful not to be proud. That's why Paul said that because of the multitude of revelations, God has said, give this guy something to keep him down. Because the kind of things Paul knew. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. Listen, if you understand grace and what God has done for you in Christ to get to a particular level there, you have to consciously learn how to be humble. It's a deliberate act. Say, look, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I'm going out today, please teach me humility. Because the way my head did so, now swell level. Yeah, swell levels. Let me give an example. The man who understands grace, that understands what God did in Christ, he didn't go to school at all, not primary school, anything. He will stand in front of a professor and he will expect the professor to bow down and kneel. And it's not lying. It's real. From what he understands, that professor should bow down, prostrate, and say, good morning, sir. And from below, look up to him and say, good morning. And this guy didn't go to school at all. Because if he looks in the realm of the spirit, he knows who has understanding, who does not have. The truth is that he has reason to boast. I hope you're getting my point here. It's not as if the man is trying to be. That's why he needs to learn humility. He needs to learn how to calm himself down. There was a time some people annoyed Peter and Co. They turned to Jesus and said, should we call fire from heaven? And Jesus did not say, who told you can do that? He said, you don't understand the kind of spirit that you have. That's not what we gave you power for, to be killing those that offend you. Listen, Paul prayed for the Philippians, for the Ephesians, so that you will understand the power that works towards those who believe. I've told you all this one, they'll be telling you, Boko Haram. Islamic threat. I hate hearing it. Because it's an insult to the power that works towards those who believe. Except the Lord gives his people up. Alright? There's nothing anybody can do. If you see what seeming like they are pressing on the believers should gather and say, what's going on? They should gather and say, what's going on? They should pray amongst themselves first. And say, God, what happened? They should pray and say, God, what happened? Not them saying, shouting, and saying, this place is burning, pray, this place is burning. There is a depth of power that a man who understands Christ sees. He has to train himself to be humble. No, he has to train. The humility is a special training. Why am I saying all of these things? That's what it means when you talk about the righteousness of God. That is, all of these things came. Paul said, I want to know him and what? The power of his resurrection. That was what the angel saw. And they said, indeed, God is righteous. I hope you get my point. Now let's look at it again. So, what are you? The righteousness of God. That you are the demonstration that God was not making a mistake when he sent his only begotten son. You see why you can never be a slave? I don't know whether you're getting my point. See why you will not let anybody treat you like a slave. Let me explain what I'm trying to say here. When you gave your life to Christ, angels rejoiced. If you are walking on the road, they are rejoicing that, so this boy, this girl, is the reason why Jesus died. And now looking at him, looking at her, we understand that God was not making a mistake. I pray we have the eyes of angels to see what they are seeing in our lives. I hope you got the scripture. I'm going to explain to us what it means when you say there's a demonstration. We talked about it last time. That's what we are talking about. That there's a demonstration. There is a, God requires. Now, back to the message now. Remember, last time I was talking about this. That, listen, you know, if God's work, if God's word, if these things are going to be shown to be righteous and to be true, there's no other way. It has to be in your life and in my life. There is no other way. We're talking about true service of God. Listen, in your life, you have to walk with God. You know, there's some scripture we didn't read last time, but I quoted in Jeremiah chapter 2. When God told them that, listen, I've given you this land, begin to contend in battle. I explained, listen, that is how God does things. He unlocks the door for the man in prison and says, you are free. The man has to get up and open the door and walk out. So God will go to the village square and say, how's your son? Say, oh, he was in prison. Now he's free. I hope you're getting my point. If you sit down there, God is your father. If you sit down there in the prison and sit down there forever, everybody in the village will think that man lied. That his son is not free. He came and lied to us that he's free. When in actual fact, the boy was in prison. But was he lying? No. He paid for everything. They unlocked the door. But the boy was so used to staying in prison, he didn't get up to open the door. On Tuesday, we talked about that, if you remember. And that is one thing that God does, because I want us to understand it. If he unlocks the door and you decide to stay in poverty, it will appear as if 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 is a lie. And the only person God can use to prove that 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 is true is you. It's me. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. There's no other person. It is the church that God demonstrates his wisdom through. Nobody else. We are the ones he demonstrates. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. We're talking about true service of God. The man that is in prison has to get up and open that door and walk away to prove that God is righteous. He has to. She has to. You can't sit in prison and be enjoying, even if you like prison. You have to prove that God is righteous. You have to prove he did not lie. You have to. When you are making decisions in life, realize your life is a statement for God. Yeah, that's the way to put it. Let me give an example. You've heard this expression before. Tough times never last. Tough people do. That was Rabbi Shula that said it. Yeah, it was one that made that statement. All right? And I believe he was inspired when he said it. Now, there's a reason I'm talking about it. The ability to endure hardship. Paul explains something like this. That I can do all of this is through Christ who strengthens me. You're getting the point. Now, listen to this. If hardship comes and every Christian runs away from where they're supposed to be, they have proven God to be a liar by their lives. Listen, when you want to make a decision in life, ask yourself, what does it say about God? We're talking about true service of God. It's what does it say about him? Digression, but it helps people. That is why, if I ever hear a Christian, the other day you told me that the GO, he placed a curse on anybody that will do tribalism inside Redeemed Church of, in Redeemed Christian Church of God, RCCG. That I say, if you do it, you will die before me. And it's an old man. When an old man tells you, we die before him. You know what that means? You're on your way to the grave. He said, if anybody turns this church to a tribal church, he will die. If anybody comes in here and practices, let's help our brother. The Jew has said the person must die. When he told me, I was excited. I was very happy. I wish somebody would go to U.S. and say it also, that if anybody practices racism in this church, he will die. The angels will just clap, oh, say it again, say it again. They say, Lord, please give us a, you know, fire at will order, you know, that kind of thing. Yes, because they need, you know what I'm saying, this. When you are making decisions in life, you are making statements about God. A Christian says, I can't marry such a person. Why? She's not from our area. She's making a statement. He's making a statement about God, about the church of God. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. We're talking about true service of God. People think that service of God is went to church. Who came early today to sweep kingdom ward? Who are those who did the backdrop behind me? The Lord bless them specially. Listen, that is true. God will bless you. Amen. It's what the Bible calls a labor of love. Yes, that's true. There's love you show for the saints. All right? But there's something that you show directly for God. I was listening to David Paulson yesterday night, and he was saying something in the teaching the five covenants of God he taught in America, the video. He explained that, we want to emphasize something, all right? That Abraham was not perfect. Isaac was not perfect. Jacob was not perfect, and he proved it. He said each one of them lied to save himself. So these are not perfect people. So then why did God love them? Why is God proud to attach his name to their own? He said it's simple. Because everything God said to them, they believed and they did. So despite all their imperfections, God said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of... No, Jacob was the hardest one. Yet God did not mind. He called himself the God of Jacob. I told you before, if David is alive today, they will carry him to war crimes tribunal. But God uses it to... In fact, one name they use for Jesus sometimes in the Bible is David. You have to look closely to know who they are talking about. The Bible talks about the sure mercies of David. And God even said that he preached God in everything, that the only one he didn't do right was Uriah. He's the only one. You know how many Philistines are dead? But he says only in the case of Uriah that God was angry particularly with David. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. It's not that these people were perfect, but when God spoke, they were careful not to go against him. But these days, Christians use their actions to speak against God. And they think they are working as Christians. My wife made a statement today. I wrote it down immediately. He said, people think that Christianity is play. They don't understand that it's a life of sacrifice. That is, yes, I don't like to do this. But as a Christian, I have to do that. When I made a joke that this is what Christians, how Christians pray. In fact, I wrote it to some of my friends. One of them laughed very well. He said, God, I want to do this. Please adjust your will accordingly. Yeah, that's how we pray. Lord, I want to do this. Adjust your will accordingly. Listen, this is a statement I'm making. Everything you do in life as a Christian, we're talking about true service of God. We say we are the demonstration of his righteousness. And let me say something to you quickly. If you are not willing to demonstrate in righteousness in small things, like can I marry from here, I can't marry from there. You know something? You will not bow the fiery furnace. Forget all of these things. Fiery furnace is for those... One day I was reading my Bible, reading the book of Daniel. I discovered something. Listen to this. Once they said, if you pray to another God apart from the king, you are going to enter into the lion's den. Daniel prayed anyway. Are you getting my point? We know the rest of the story. He said, if you don't bow down to this large image that the king has set up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow anyway. He said, if you don't bow, you are going into the fiery furnace. They told the king, sorry, sir, we are not bowing. He said, heat it up 7 times more. It was so hot, the men that were supposed to throw them inside died. I'm sure you have wondered yourself, will I stand if I'm the one put there. The truth is that nobody can stand. No, nobody can stand. The only people that stood, they stood by the power of grace. That's it. This is my conviction. I've been teaching about this for years. I thought about it here many times. If at that point in time they gave Shadrach the opportunity to bow, and he wanted to bow, his back was stiff. The truth is that those men, it got to a point they couldn't bow. The willingness, the ability, you see, life is lived in a spiritual way, oh, not be by your strength. Oh. God poured the spirit inside them. Are you getting me? They saw death, they were not afraid. They saw the fire, it was inviting. I don't know whether I get my point. Is it not fire? Let it be quick. They were not planning to survive. They didn't care whether they survived or not. But the fire was like, say, this is the path to glory. Let's pass through it. That was how they felt. Nobody obeys God with agidi. You know what they call agidi? Gra-gra. Oboju. Give me another word now. No, not stubborn. I want real English. Like Oboju English. Boldface, thank you. You don't use grit to obey God. When God sees the willingness to obey, he pours grace into you. Grace starts carrying you. I hope you get my point. When they say nobody should pray to any other God, God will just pour the spirit of intercession into you. You open the window. Father, in the name of Jesus. You open your eye. They've come to arrest you. Say, what's going on? You were praying. Okay, I was praying. Yeah, let's go now. You get to the king. Why were you praying? Lord, the spirit of the Lord came upon me. And I began to speak in other tongues as the spirit gave me utterance. I didn't know what I was saying. Oh, let me tell you a story I heard. You know, I listen to messages a lot. I listen to the people during the night. I woke up and heard that one. The man said, the one man in his church, he did not like that man. He disliked the man. So one day the man fell sick and he was going to be sick for like 6 weeks. So he was happy. So this man will not come to church for 6 weeks. Praise God. 6 weeks of peace. Because the guy was like an elder in church. So anytime he says, let's do this, the man will say, we have done it before. It did not work. So no need to do it. All right, let us do this other one. The man will say, we have never done it before. Why should we try it? So that was the kind of trouble this man used to give him. Then the man fell sick. And he knew this man would be out for like 6 weeks. So he was happy that the man has fallen sick. So there will be peace of God that passes all understanding for 6 weeks. So he went to church to go and pray for the man. And he told the Lord simply, let me be honest with you, Lord. I don't want to pray for him. I want him to be sick. But you see, I should pray for him. He said the moment he got to that point, a spirit of prayer came upon him. He prayed for 1 hour in a language that sounded Chinese. At the end of 1 hour, he took a break. The prayer started again. He prayed for another 1 hour. He said that language sounded like, I think, a Spanish. He didn't know what he was saying. He said he prayed for the man for 1 hour in Chinese. Oh, he doesn't speak Chinese. The Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto man, howbeit in the spirit, he's uttering mysteries unto God. Let's make a long story short. The man sent for him. When he was going to the man's house, we were just hearing James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And the man's name was James. He said, Lord, I understand the James part. But the five, okay, it was here, James 5, James 5, James 5. He said, I understand the James part, but the five part I don't get. He got to the man's house. The man said, Pastor, what do you think about James 5? Because is anyone sick amongst you? Let him call upon the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If he has committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. He said, confess your faults one to another. The first line. So when they got there, they said, okay, let us confess our... So the man said, what do you think? He said, I'll pray about it. That's a nice way to escape without praying for the man. But I already prayed for him the other time. He said, then, this... let's make a long story short. Let me make the story short. He came one day with some guys. And he said, let's confess your fault one to another. So let's start by saying that, James, I have never liked you. I don't like you. So the man said, the feeling is mutual, Pastor. The feeling is mutual. So they got that one out of the way. Then he anointed the guy with oil. Let me make a long story short. By the next day, the man was totally well. And he said he didn't know when he promised the man that, are you still traveling? He said he had some journeys to make. He said, is your ticket still available? The man said, yes. He said, get ready, I'll drop you at the airport tomorrow. So he didn't know when he said it. The words came out of his mouth by themselves. So next day, the man called him and said, I'm waiting. Are you not coming to carry me? He said, why should I carry you? Are you well? That is, the guy was, he got it. The man was perfectly well. He said, they now became the best of friends. They became the best of friends. Now, please, I know where I took that tangent off. I was explaining something that, listen, he was not the one that loved the man by himself. It was the Spirit of God in him that loved through him. That's what they call grace. He said the law came by Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Now, what am I going to say? But for somebody to receive grace, don't forget, that's what we're talking about. For you to receive grace, to stand against the fiery furnace, Daniel, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael, those are their Jewish names, they did not start that day. They started on small things like the food they will eat and the food they will not eat. Some people have been eating all kinds of things. They now don't want to bow when they say bow. Why am I saying this? There are little decisions we make every day that's within our powers, that's hindering our ability to receive the power of God later on in life. What's the big deal? You know, it's very simple to decide, okay, I'm from, give me two places I don't like to marry each other in Nigeria. No, in Enugu. Who's from Enugu here? Good, please. Give me two big places. You should know now, a man where a man won't agree to marry a woman from. Okay, Ogu people and Kanu people. Good. You know the truth is that fine girls come from Ogu. Two of us. Yes, now. And Kanu, they are fine girls from there. What is going on? Now, why I'm saying all of this is this. Listen. It's actually easy. You know, you can use that one to, in quote, persuade yourself, deceive yourself, say it's the will of God. After all, it's a woman you like. It's easy to ride over that and say, listen, no, the Bible says, it's relatively easy. It's relatively easy to override that small thing and say, no. No, in our church, the Bible says that we cannot know anybody after the flesh. We're spirit people. In Christ Jesus, we are all one. After all, you like the girl. I hope you get my point. Listen, if you can't do that on things like that, that's where I began all of this talk from. You are misrepresenting God in life. You have made it a habit. When serious things come up later in life, you will not be able to receive grace to withstand them. That is a matter of fact. Many men are shutting off their destiny in marriage choices. Tomorrow they are starting business. They say, Father, in the name of Jesus. God say, who are you talking to? I receive grace to face them. God, they say, he'll just kill you. I'm facing this giant in business. I'm going to take over the land from there. God, if you go near, you're on your own. Do you know God says that once in a while? When they doubted God in the wilderness, Moses came and said, this is the judgment of God. 40 years, you guys are going to be in the wilderness. Until the last of you adults are dead. Then in that generation, we'll go to the promised land. They were not very God. We are sorry. So in fact, right now, we are going into the promised land. Moses said, come back. Don't go. They said, no, we will go. Moses said, the Lord is not with you. They went back. When the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites gathered against them, they ran. Moses said, did I not tell you that God is not with you? Men, many times, they have decided to disobey God in small things they could have handled. And I get up later in life saying, the name of Jesus, God said, wait, sit down. If you go up against them, they will kill you. Why? 7 years ago, you wanted to marry. You sat down with your cousins that were not believers and condemned the child of God. Forget it, my boy. That business, you're not doing it again in your life. Anytime you do it, you will lose money. Better get away. Listen, I'm saying something. I know where I began this from. It is through us God is showing what he is like. It is through us God is showing what he did in Christ Jesus. And when you are making decisions in life, please, make sure your decisions truly reflect what God said in his word. I was talking today, yesterday, one of my friends, you know, he came to town, so we got talking. My wife and I picked up the gist again this morning. And I said, Christians, many times, they don't believe. Know the truth? They don't believe. They claim to be Christians. They treat God according to one scripture read upside down. You are an ever-present help when we need you. Right now, we don't need you. That's how they read him. That scripture is read by many people like that. He's an ever-present help only in the time of need. When we don't need him, he should give us space. When we have money, God, don't bother. We are okay. When we need you, we'll let you know. After all, you are an ever-present help in the time of need. You shouldn't be present when you are not needed. That is how we behave. If we are sick, we pray. If we are broke, we will confess the word. But let's become rich first. No, my child can't go to school in Nigeria. This educational system that's not good. Where is he going to school? He's going to school in Canada. I said, but there, you know, yesterday night, I was telling my wife, I said, let me watch news. So, they said Sweden is one country. No, I was watching Euro news. So I was, because I was kind of tired, I kept on dozing off in front of the TV. I put the TV on, I will fall asleep. Then I woke up at the point in time, they were interviewing one woman. Either their prime minister, I'm not sure whether it's a man or a woman, but this woman was one of the big ministers in Sweden. And they were talking about how to solve the gender inequality matter. And they said they have one of the best records in the world. And it's okay, maternity leave, I will try to give the women 3 months, and then at the same time, the men 3 months. But if both parents are of the same sex, you know, we do it like this. Did you hear what I said? She said it in person. The way Buhari will say, well, if you took money, go and refund it. All the banks that did not, took NNPC and NLNG money, please go and refund it. Otherwise, you can't trade in Forex. Don't just say it matter of factly. I woke up and heard the woman say, if both parents are of the same sex, I will try to share the maternity leave, you know. You know, that's... She said it so casually. Yet, my brethren who claim they have faith will gladly release a teenager to go to school there and say that the power in Nigeria is not constant. I'm sorry to say you have no faith. I think inconstant power supply is far better than constant moral insupply. Which word did I use just now? I don't know which word I use now. You know, I create words sometimes to make my point clear. Now, you know where I'm going. See my gist. This is my point. People claim they believe, but they don't believe. God will say, this is the reason why I curse a land. Go and read that Leviticus, is it 17 now? 18. This is why I curse a land. Yet they will export, we will gladly export our lives. We are not missionaries, though. We are looking for comfort. Why are you here? Where your neighbor is a man married to another man. The one on the left is a woman married to another woman. And you are not allowed to talk. Otherwise, you are accused of bigotry. And you will gladly leave ordinary in constant power supply, which you can constantize by yourself through a small generator. No, usually those who can make those decisions can afford these generators, inverters. They can. Listen, in Nigeria of today, if you are rich enough to dedicate 100,000 naira a month to power supply, your power will be constant. You know that. This is something you can actually... But you know, what irritates my body is that they claim they have faith, but they actually don't. God is an ever-present help only in the time of need. When we don't need him, please stay behind. We'll gladly get up, relocate our system to a place where we are sure our children will not be taught morality. It will depend on us 100%. The society is fighting against you. Here, there are parents who don't believe in God. They export their children to church regularly. They will come in the morning, drop the children. Okay, have a good day. Children will enter into church. And father will go to go and eat. One of my friends, he said he doesn't believe in God. One of my classmates said he doesn't believe in God. I said, what about your children? He said, I drop them in church every Sunday. You draw them in choice. Say yes. I said, well, why do you bother? He said, I want to give them a chance in life to make up their mind. The truth that my friends small believe in God. Small. Because if you are so sure there's no God, you won't carry your children there. I don't drop my children in the mosque so that they can make up their mind whether they will be Muslims or Christians. I don't do that. Why would I do that? Because I'm sure of what I believe. They follow me to Bible study. Let's go and hear the word of God. On Sunday, they're off to church, children's church. They do it at home. Their mother says, everybody recite your memory verse. Why? That's what we believe. Yet you go to a place where you are the only one pushing your children to learn scripture. And now, listen, you can find yourself after the Americans. There are people who are natives. Are you getting my point? There are Canadians, there are Europeans, there are all kinds of people. What I'm trying to say is that when we are making judgment, let's see what we weigh as valuable. Let's see the value we place on things. Let's see the value. How can you tell me, as far as you are concerned, cost and power supply, and the fact that you will graduate in 4 years if you enter school, is more important than the moral environment in which your children grow up? The truth is that we don't believe the word of God. If we did, you will have known that many of those countries don't have up to 40 years left of civilization. Many of them don't have. Listen, this boy prophet, go and read The Happiest People on Earth. The boy who wrote a prophecy that led the Armenians to America wrote another one, which they are not allowed to open until another prophet would be raised up to open that one. People began to suspect what is inside. They think he gave them a timeline to move from America and go somewhere else. Some of them think the time is close. So many of their descendants are beginning to relocate to certain other parts of the world. They are not very sure. Other people have prayed and checked and said, what is inside that prophecy? It's another timeline for movement. Because by prophecy, they moved down to where they are today. And they came with another prophecy, sealed, guarded by two angels. Nobody opens it. If you try, they'll kill you. They've had reports of men who said that they have been sent to open it. The angels killed them. I know that it's one or two angels that are guarding the letter. And this is interesting, but when I first heard of that, they said that the persecution against the church is coming. And that God is warning them ahead that the time move ahead of that time. Yeah, they will be run, rushing there. Why? The road is good. No, poverty is a horrible thing. It's when your mind has not been liberated into true prosperity. That's why you'll be rushing up and down looking for where the road is good. Listen, what am I preaching today? Remember, every decision we make in life, with that decision, what are we doing? We are making statements about our God for the environment. Many people cannot be saved today because the Christians have lied about their God to them. Yes, they go to church on Sundays and worship and come to the office and share stolen money. You have condemned everybody in your office to unbelief. No, people don't get it. You invite your neighbors, come with me to church, come with me to church. And they worship you. They enjoy our service. They pray, God is good. Hallelujah. On Sunday, on Monday morning, they get to work. How much is that money? That money did you pay? Has he brought the bribe? How much? Listen, anytime you do that, you are condemning the people with you to unbelief. Because you have told them your gospel is not genuine, it's not true. I told a story here about a young boy in Lagos, young student. So one day, his friend drags him to fellowship. And they say, we'll give your life to Christ. You want to give your life to Christ? He walked forward immediately. He did not care what they were preaching. They said, why did you do that? He said, the boy preaching, his classmate, was the one preaching. And he said, whatever this guy is preaching, he obviously believes it. Why? Because shortly before that, they were in the exam together. And the exam was tough and boys were cheating. Do you understand? And this guy sat in front. Listen to me. God knows what he's doing in your life. Sometimes he does not break through upon you the way you expect him to break through because he's using you to give an example to somebody else. This guy too did not know it. Holy Spirit did not come to give him revelation. Holy Spirit left him blank. He knew nothing. He knew nothing like everybody else. But as they were reading, as they were cheating, he sat squarely in front, his eyes on his paper and his front, refusing to talk to anybody. They finished the exam. He also probably didn't do well. They submitted their papers and left. Then Holy Spirit doing his work now dragged this other boy to church, to their fellowship. And who was preaching? The young student who that day did not have anything to write but refused to cheat. So when that boy entered the fellowship and he saw the other guy preaching, he said, now I know why he does not cheat. He said, who wants to give his life to Christ? He didn't hear anything they said. He just walked to the front and said, whatever this guy is saying, he believes it. Everything, that's the service of God. I said, it's not all this one come to church. Oh, let us worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Oh, Lord, worship you, worship, worship. Listen, that one a song. You get my point? Real worship. Some people have ruined the name of God. One brother, he said, look, one of our brothers, he's a businessman in Abuja. He said, I prefer to deal with allergies. These are my brethren. They are too untrustworthy. I was telling you that he said some people were owing him good money, business. He would watch TV. See one big man of God in Nigeria. And you'll see them sitting down on the left and on the right. And they say, yeah, amen, you know, daddy, daddy. They are following daddy up and down. He'll be looking at them. You are Christians. You are not. Thank God he's a believer. Otherwise, that guy will never believe. Why? Because he sees the kind of persons they are. He knows them on the business level. And these are and why are they sitting on the left and on the right of the big man of God? They bring good offering. That the time that will come, oh, daddy, good morning, 10 million. Daddy, good morning, the Holy Spirit laid upon us, $10,000. And daddy will say, my son's ministry. And he'll be blessing them. But those who know them personally, this is my brother, they said, that, you know, there was a bank, there are some banks in Nigeria, when they closed them up, people say, they are persecuting us. Sanusi want to collect our bank for the northern Islamic agenda. I laughed. You know why I laughed? One of those banks, my friend was a manager there. And you know what he used to tell me? He said, my guy is a crook. He said, he'll go to prison one day. He said, this my guy is a criminal. In fact, the word he used, he said, my guy is a criminal. He was saying this before Charles Oludo came. He said, my guy is a criminal. He said, he'll go to prison one day. I didn't know the boy was speaking prophetically. Yeah, we sat down there saying that, Islamic agenda. They want to collect our banks. Islamic agenda. Somebody walking with this man said, this man is a criminal. Listen, what we are doing, we are making statements about our God. That's the point I'm trying to make. When you are making decisions in front of your parents, you are making statements about your faith. That film you say I should watch, God is not dead. I watched only a small part of it, but there was one part I like in it. This girl was on trial, this woman was on trial for preaching the gospel to a student in her school. But the part of it I like is this. Her lawyer suddenly put her on the stand. Didn't tell her ahead of time. And said to her, apologize. Say what you did was wrong. Say it was a mistake. She said, I can't do that. He said, go ahead. Your career is at stake. Your life is at stake here. Go ahead, apologize to the jury, to everybody. That's a mistake. Say you are sorry. The woman was surprised. Said, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Said, tell them that what you said was a lie. He said, I can't do that. That would be a lie. That's what the lawyer wanted. For them to see her integrity. That even under pressure, just to say sorry to save her skin, she said, no, I will not do it. What I did was right. It was the truth. Well, later the lawyer said, sorry, I didn't tell you ahead because I wanted your response to be spontaneous. If I warned you ahead, they will know you're acting. But he was so sure of her integrity. Said this girl, no, she will not. And that was why she won the case. Every statement we are making, we are saying to people, whether this gospel is true or it's not true. You tell people about heaven, you build all the houses on the earth. They don't believe what you say. You're talking about heaven. They don't see you investing in heaven. You say the soul has sinned, it shall die. Hellfire is real. Heaven is real. Meanwhile, the way you fight for land. The way you fight for land, they know this heaven cannot be real. If heaven was real, this boy would not be behaving like this. No, let me tell you the truth. Christians don't believe. Sometimes it appears as if our God is not faithful. The truth is that we are not faithful.
We are faithless. We don't believe. We are not willing to sell all we have and give to the poor that we may have treasure in heaven. We are not sure of that heaven. We are not sure that spiritual treasure is real. We are pretending. We are pretending. We are not willing to manage anything. We are pretending. We don't behave like people that have any hope outside this earth. We are pretending. We pray for peace, then look for where we hide our children, even if the place is dangerous morally. We don't believe. The truth is that we don't believe. If we believed, listen, our God is not dead. He's alive and well. If truly we believed, if we made bold statements about him in this life, believe me, he will arise and his enemies will be scattered. When you hear testimonies of what Christians do, one of our brothers, a contractor then in Abuja, said if you see that woman, very conservative Christian, the type no makeup, no earring, turban head, long robe, you know, cloth, turtleneck, Bible carrying, tattered Bible. If your Bible is neat, you are not holy. Tattered one. The Bible is in front. This brother said, forget it. That all the profit he made in that contract, the woman collected everything. Federal ministry in Abuja. Gave job. The woman said, my portion is 700,000. Meanwhile, when they go to church, oh, the prayers are, you know now. Hey, la coco, copa, la polope. Hey, Father, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of the bondwoman shall not overtake the spirit of the Son of God, in the name of Jesus. Father, say, who will give for our next convention? She will bring 500,000 and make sure that the general overseer or their senior pastor sees it. This sister is very dedicated. God say, I will personally send you to personal hellfire. Why can't Christians walk out there and say literally, this world is not my home? That a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Believe me, that is when we really are serving God. When our lives are the statements that people are reading about our God. When we walk into school in an exam hall, I don't know it, I am not going to cheat. Thank you very much. Let's go and solve the lecture. I am not going. You will fail. Will I be the first person to fail? People have failed and walked into destiny. This boy, you're not taking yourself serious. Listen, no, God, my God is watching me. God was described as a fear of Isaac. Those who knew Isaac knew he was afraid of somebody. Listen, Isaac wouldn't cheat you in secret. Why? The person he feared, he knew the person was watching. David said, even if I were to hide in the bottom of the ocean, you are there. Isaac knew that. So everybody called God the fear of Isaac. Which God are you talking about? Say that man or that God that does not allow Isaac to cheat even in secret. So Jacob was talking about him to Laban. He said, well, know that the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me. When I learned that scripture, I said, my God. That is, those who knew Isaac knew he feared something. Isaac will say to you, please, your money is not complete. Take. Say, why don't you hold it? He said, somebody is checking my account. No, really, the way I see people behave, even preachers, they don't fear God. Honestly, they don't fear God. They don't fear God. I made a statement today. I told my wife, if I tweeted it. They think because they are special, God overlooks many things in their lives. Not true. There are men of God you watch on TV. People will tell you, that man, forget him. I know where the hotel, where it comes the women. I say, why are you still preaching? Why are you still pretending? Why are you still preaching? Why come to the pulpit? Listen, God will make some people examples. If you see evil men thriving, check it. The people of God are not doing their own thing. If you are thinking about what's wrong with a country like ours, that's what is wrong. That's what is wrong. We are not properly representing what the word of God is saying. Let me summarize, please. Let's go. All right. Let's see how quickly we can get out of here. The Lord is good. I hope you are following me. If you are following me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, what have I said so far? Remember I said it is through us that God shows forth his righteousness. It's through us that he shows forth his excellencies. So we are the word of God people will read. We essentially are today's living word of God. I hope you're getting my point here. Yeah, we are today's living word of God. Just like Jesus Christ was the living word of God, we are today's living word of God. And we have to live up to that in everything that we do. Because, anything we do, when we make choices, when we take actions, it must be as to confirm that which was written. I hope you're getting my point here. Yes, we must behave like people that know that this word is working out itself in their lives. Very, very important. Now, last time I was explaining that this is what poverty is. Poverty is not I don't have money. Poverty is not I don't have, resources. Poverty actually means I lack the ability to create. I remember I explained that Noah placed a curse on Ham. And many of, in fact, as a nation, as a group of people, as a race, we participate in that curse. But the only way out is through Christ Jesus. I explained again that once we believe in Christ, all right, once we believe in Christ Jesus, we have been removed from the curse of Noah. What is that curse? That says, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants he will be. All right? Those things, they play out through many methods. People don't know how to make the right decisions. They have the wrong, They have the wrong priorities in life. The wrong value system. They don't know what matters. They don't know the things that are important in life. Paul wrote, he said, I pray that you will learn to approve the things that are excellent. People are walking under a curse. They don't know the things that are excellent. They put their effort into that which does not satisfy. I hope you get my point here. So as a result, if they are gathered together in a society, they are down. They are not above. All right? They are down. They are underneath the feet of the people around. So Noah said like this, a servant of servants you will find them to be. But in Christ Jesus, we have the wisdom of God. In Christ Jesus, we have the ability of God. He said, he's the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to create wealth. That Jeremiah chapter 8. That promise is fulfilled in our lives in Christ Jesus. And we said, listen, if God sets us free, we must get up and open the door and walk out. I want to go back into that now. We have the duty to demonstrate that indeed we have been set free. When we are making decisions, I said, we must make decisions like people that are free. People who are bound. People who are still slaves. They make decisions like this. They look at earthly things and to them it's more important. They don't have the ability to look at things that are superior. They don't know how to let themselves die, all right, in quotes now, in the process of creating something onto the earth. Paul says something here, that if I find myself, all right, being sacrificed upon the altar for this progression of your faith, he said, I'm satisfied. What does that mean? He said, death works in me regularly so that life might work in you. That's a man who is free. I don't know whether I get my point here. That is a man who is free. That is a man who is free. He said, no, I'm not getting anything. Don't worry about it. But I want it to be that in this life, I have contributed something out there that people can see and know that indeed God is good. Let me say something to you. Your life is a reflection of God's character. That's what God made us to be. Listen. That your life is a reflection of God's character as a believer. If God wants to show that he is good, he makes you good. Did you hear what I said? Until we can die for the sin, in quotes now, of the whole world, people will not know that Jesus really died for their sins. Listen. It's now I understand why God used to allow his children to be killed. Why did he allow Paul die? The story we have is that Paul was beheaded. Why? Why could he not just have allowed Paul to die in peace? He could do it. Listen. We know very well that he could do that. How do I know that? Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians and said, I am in a difficult situation. King James says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I like that expression. I'm in a tight corner. Whether I should go home and be with the Lord or to stay behind and continue to labor. See, I don't know which one to choose. What does that tell you? The man could choose. He could choose. Before he died, he wrote to Timothy, now I think I've done everything. I've finished the course. I've run the race. He said, I'm now ready to be offered up. That's what he said. The man could decide one day that I don't want these people to get me. He agrees with the Lord. He sleeps one night. They come there in the morning. he's gone. And nobody will know what happened. But why didn't God let that happen? I like one film I watched long ago. I don't know whether it really happened like that. But Paul was led to the place where they would be heading. He walked there nicely. He knelt down, he prayed, turned his head, put it on the chopping board. And that guy dropped the axe and his head was off. The one that history actually documented properly is the death of Polycarp. They said Polycarp was, the church kept him somewhere. Somebody betrayed him. So they went and caught him and tied him to this. They wanted to burn, the king said he would burn him alive. He's the one that made the famous statement. When they said recount that he should deny Jesus Christ. He said, this 70 years I have served him and he has never done me any wrong. Then why will I deny him now? So they said, in that case, they're going to burn him at the stake. This is the point about it. So they wanted to tie him. Polycarp said, no, they don't need to tie him. That he won't run away. He stood at the stake. He was not tied. They set it on fire. And he stood there and burnt and died. They wanted to tie him. He said, no need. Tie me for what? I won't run away. Where is the fire? And they lit the fire. And the fire engulfed him. And he died. For a long time, I was wondering, why did God allow all of these things? Know the truth? I just realized it. He said, this is the only proof I have that Jesus actually died for people. It's when his disciples die like that. He doesn't wait. The Bible says, precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. So he doesn't let it happen recklessly. When he was tied to kill Polycarp, he allowed somebody to betray him. He was an old man. He said, all these decades I have served him. He has never done me any wrong. Can't deny him now. Tied the man to the stake. He said, why tie me? For what? It's not fire. Stood in the midst of fire confidently. The same way his Lord went to the cross and did not run. I like one thing the Benihim preached many years ago. He said, the nails didn't hold Jesus there. On the cross. Said the nails could not hold him. That Jesus deliberately stood on the cross. He held on to the nails by himself. That you nail him? No. No. That couldn't hold him. I hope you're getting my point. It was the obedience of Christ that held him on the cross. It wasn't the nails. It was the obedience of Christ. So what's Jesus saying to us? Listen, the reason why I allow my sins to die is just to show to people this is how I was. It is through you that they see what exactly I was like. You are the proof of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. That's the point I'm making. So anything we are doing in life, we look at it like Christ. I was sharing with my wife, you know, as a preacher, you know, there are issues you have to understand. You know, thinking and meditating, and I was able to understand Paul writing about money, writing about his life. Paul explained the rights he had as a preacher. I have a right to be supported by the church, by the people I minister to, he said to them. He said, but no, I forgo all of these rights for one reason. That's what I'm talking about. One reason. He said, as far as I'm concerned, anything I need to do to advance this gospel and build you people up in Christ, I will do even if it requires me letting go of my rights. That I'll rather reach more people and be hungry than be legitimately fed and not be able to reach as many. Listen, that's the spirit of Christ. Listen to me. It happens in every aspect of life. It's not only for preachers. There are people that God said, listen, go and demonstrate in Nigerian government what Christ is like. Take an oath before you enter office. God will say, I have blessed you. I have given you money. I am going to have you have enough money in an account, or your business is bringing enough money to pay your house rent, pay your children's school fees, do everything, and you are going to be in government for 10 years. In 10 years, don't take a dime from them. Why? Is the money not rightfully yours? Oh, the salary is rightfully yours, but I want you not to collect it. Is it wrong? It's not wrong. It's not wrong, like Paul. But I want you to go there and pour a spirit into the place. You're not doing it for political gain. You just want people to know. Bloomberg was mayor of New York. His annual salary was $1. mayor of New York. Why? Before he became mayor, he was a billionaire. They said he spent a total of about $300 million of his personal money during the period that he was mayor of New York. So sometimes you enter into City Hall, that's like local government headquarters, and say, guys, you have worked enough for today. Come, let's go and eat. We'll take them to a posh restaurant. Everybody will eat. Eat lamb, eat snail, eat everything. Who's paying? The mayor is paying. His personal money. By the time he was done, they totaled the amount of money he has spent, over $300 million, in the period that he was mayor. He refurbished the mayor's house and did not stay there. Why? My own house is finer. What is it? Now, he's rich, no doubt. All right? Billionaire. All right? Bloomberg. In fact, if you watch DSTV, you'll see his channel is there. He has a channel on DSTV, Bloomberg TV. Okay? He's a man who the Lord has blessed. But I want to just bring out an issue here. You don't have to be that rich to make certain statements. But at least one that all of us must make. God may not send you there to, you know, write off all your salary. No. Yes, maybe that's money you're going to eat with. Maybe you're not rich when you got there. But you take an oath in the presence of your brethren that every dime I am paid, there will be a record of it. It will go into my account, and the reason why I was paid that money, like, for example, it's my Estacode allowance, I traveled, it's my duty to allowance, it's my salary, it's my housing allowance, you will see everything. And I swear in the presence of my brethren, if somebody brings me a bottle of wine to say thank you, I will take it to the office on Monday, and all of us in the office will drink it. And I will tell them this is where it came from. In fact, I'll tell them, look, you can only bring the wine to the office. Don't bring it to my house. If it is foul, you bring it to the office. We will eat it there. Yes. If it is goat, there. It will be clear that nobody does me any personal favors. I will be in this office for this length of time. I swear in the presence of my brethren that I will not leave there richer than I came in. All the money that I'm paid will be my wages that's legitimately approved before I came in. I will not negotiate any new wage while I'm in that office. If I'm a senator, they say constituency allowance. You have a senatorial district. I will appoint credible men to form a committee to supervise the disbursement of constituency allowance. Constituency allowance will not constitute itself into my pocket. And it's not, listen, you know, there's nothing to this thing. You know, there's somebody, one woman I was hearing teach, I just saw the video. Okay, one brother sent it. She said, why do Christians expect that when they are honest and they do righteousness, God should bless them? He said, why do they expect it? He said, those things are not things that are supposed to be blessed specially. They are things that are normal. He said, why do we expect a blessing for it? What else were you planning to do? Lie? Steal? Cheat? He said, we should take our eyes away from that thing. When you tell the truth, there's no special blessing. You are just being normal. When you refuse to take bribes, you have not done anything special. That is normal. You should be blessed when you decide to cut your head for somebody. But when you do these other things, no. There's nothing special. You have just walked normally. Listen. I'm talking about the true service of God. That's what it is. We get up, we go out there and reflect Jesus exactly. We are willing to lay down. That's the one I'm talking about. Our lives and in different aspects of life. Listen to me. That's what I wanted to continue today, but I thank God for the way it went. Listen, some will go into education like that. Last time I was speaking here, I knew what I was saying. I wasn't joking. Being rich financially now, you understand? It's not something a Christian is allowed to aspire to. Listen. You know how Paul said it? He said, those who desire it, they pass through many hurtful loss and pierce themselves through many a pang or many sorrows. We use the King James in English. I said, Christians shouldn't want to be rich like that. I said, no, yes, they're not supposed to be all this one. I'm going to be a billionaire. If you wake up one day, find out you're a billionaire, thank God for it. It's a job. Yeah, it's a job. What should we do? It's simple. If God sent me into the market, as an example, I'm an industrialist. I must be building industries. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's not about being rich. I must be building industries. I must be reducing cost. Go and read the book of by Henry Ford. My Life and Work by Henry Ford. Henry Ford kept on dropping the price of cars when he did not have any competitor. You know his logic? So everybody should be able to afford it. People interpreted everything with their own selfish mind. That he knew that if he dropped the price, he would sell more. The man said, listen, the reason my interest in selling more is that I know that I'm reaching more people. I don't know where I get the point. He started selling the cars $2,000-something. He kept on working, no competition, no serious competition. There were some small people, but no serious one. He kept on working until he dropped the price to $700. That's what he used to do. He will work hard. He said, no, that $700, how can we bring it down to $600? We have to be able to give these things to more people. He tripled the minimum wage, more than double in his factory. He said, why should a man be working for me and he cannot eat? People say he knew that they will work harder. You see, they keep, you know, when he has done it now, they're not using their own selfish mind to interpret it. It wasn't just about working hard. The man built quarters. And if he will fine you if your house is dirty. He said, because when your house is dirty, your children will become sick. And he doesn't understand why you should be working for him and your children should be sick. He said, he realized that not everybody can be an entrepreneur. That everybody has a gift. That some people have to take a regular job. He said, so what's my duty? Create as much of it as possible. So that was his job. That's why I said some jobs are too complicated. Not every man will be able to do it. He said, break down this job until it is so simple, any man can do it. There are people that went to his work, all they did was carry this, put it here, spanner, yes, on the knot, 5 times. 1, 2, 3. He has calibrated, you don't turn it 6 times. He said, the thinking is not your job, it's for the engineer. So the man said, turn it 5 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. When you do it, 5 bolts, you remove it, and then push it on. Next. Some people say he's making men stupid. He said, no, they were stupid before they came here. I am making them useful at that level in life. Because with that, I can still give them a decent wage. They will own a house, they will buy one of those cars. He said, listen, not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur. He said, some people need this job, so I need to create it. And he created those jobs until he became one of the richest men in the world. I hope you get my point here. So when I say Christian is not aspiring to be rich, you see what I'm saying? It's a different matter. We can't say that there's no job in Nigeria. You think God is going to, angels will come and say, voice queue up, this is your job. Be handing it out in boxes. No. God says, I am good. So I put goodness in the hearts of my children. My sons, my daughters, they go out there, create jobs. The men will queue up, take the jobs and say, God is good. Remember, there is none good but God. So any good you do in your life is an expression of the character of God. Let me summarize it there. Listen, this life, nobody sent you to come and chop life. Nobody. You were sent to come and do what? Reflect God. To make sure his word is demonstrated as true. That's what we're talking about. Because in this life, you make your choices to show that my word is true. I hope you're getting my point. That's why, I wasn't sent to be nice to people. I was sent to be, to tell the truth. You know what he said? Is it Psalm 82? No, not Psalm 82. I've not quoted that scripture in a very long time. God said that, I will speak of Egypt, of Philistia, and they will say, oh, this one was born there. He said, but of Zion it shall be said, this one was born there. You know what God was saying? People brag on the fact that, yeah, my daughter, my son, me, I'm born in America. I'm born in this place. God said, listen, this is the truth. This is my word. People will start bragging that my parents are born again. And that will be their bragging point. I don't know where you get the point. That they say, this one is a child of one who the Lord has blessed. I've told you before, when you see Christian running up and down, be careful. You are making statements. That's why I have, oh God, I thank you for it. I don't, all the run up and people are doing, I'm not interested. I said, this is the blessing my children need. I will put my hands upon them one by one. And I do that, ask them regularly. I will say to them, it is well with you. you will be great. God will carry you far in life. Those words are powerful. If they need $20,000 to pay school fees on an annual basis, it will come. People say, save up for your children's education. I don't have that time. When it's time to pay those fees, the money must come. If the money won't come, then the fees must not be needed. Yes, one of the two. They will go to free school if the money won't come. But that school, they will go. I don't know why you're getting my point here. Sufficient unto the day, the Bible says what? Is the evil thereof. That's how I live my life. So are you saving up for your children's future? If I save up for them, they will go mad. The money will drive them mental. It's a spirit. You don't know. I'm not kidding. It's a spirit. It's a spirit of unbelief. Enter into a child. Child will get sense again. And you'll now be praying. Father, and God says, is that money? So what should I do? Sell all you have. Give to the poor. There are people that need to go and take accounts. Close it. Don't bring it to me. Because if you did now, it would be as if I'm preaching to collect your money. Are you getting my point? It's true. That's what Jesus used to preach to. I'm not afraid to preach it. Jesus looked at a man. He said, all the money you have saved up. See those poor people. Go and give it to them. Then you, come and follow me. Come and queue up with Peter to eat food as offering. That the offering, that is, there's no other food though. This was a rich man. There are people that need to do that. They need to do that in this life for God to be able to really bless them. They can't be blessed. They have too much security in the bank. God said, go home, empty that account. Thank you very much. When last did you buy anything for your mother? It's been a while. Go and spend 100K. Buy her clothes. Buy her this. Buy her that. Those young boys, you know, on campus, yes, they have reached a point in which they need laptops. Buy 5, share to them. Paul, it's not, when the Bible says Paul, it's not to go to the road and be, how many 10-9 do you want to shout out at checkpoint? That's what we're talking about. Go to a campus fellowship and say, guys, what's going on? Your equipment does not sound nice. So we'd like to, you know, okay, what's the cost of everything? You say 350. And then we check. They say, this man is rich. No, he's saving his life. He's saving his life. I hope you've gotten my point.
Yes, sir.
Let us close, John. Let us go home. I hope you are blessed today.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's just give it a let's bow down and say, Father, thank you. Let's say, Lord, we thank you. Let us say, Lord, we thank you. So, Lord, thank you for your truth again. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. Let us say, Lord, thank you for your truth. Let us give him thanks. Thank him. Say, Lord, I commit my life to you again to be a reflection of what you have said, what you have spoken. That your word in my life, that my life will be a reflection of your word. People will see me and know that indeed Jesus spoke. They will know that indeed Jesus died, that his words are alive, that he's a living word. Lord, make me a living word again today. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, let's give the Lord thanks. Father, we thank you. Let's just raise our hands and worship him. Just thank you again, because now I understand the purpose of my life. Thank you. I understand it. I understand it. I understand it. Pour your grace upon me. Help me to refuse food that's not right. Help me to refuse the food that's not right, so that the time that I need to stand against the lions, and the threat of lions, the time I need to stand against the threat of the fiery furnace, I will have the grace to stand. Say, Lord, I thank you. Pour that grace into me in the name of Jesus. I receive it now. I receive it now. I dedicate myself again to be a reflection of what you are doing on the earth, to be a reflection of what you are like. Say, Lord, I dedicate myself again. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I bless you again today.